That's what we want to do. Now, last week we were in chapter 4 where there was some confusion among the Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord, when the Lord comes back, and the resurrection. Mainly, it was about the resurrection, you know. And they were worried that those who had already died or fallen asleep, as he termed it, that somehow they're going to miss out on something. Paul's assuring them that the Lord's bringing them with him, right? They're with him. He's bringing them with him. And we looked at a lot of different passages about that. And that as far as that resurrection and that resurrection body that we're going to have forever, they're actually ahead of you, right? Because they're going to receive their resurrection body first, and then those who are alive will be changed. Paul tells us later, in a moment, faster than you can bat your eye, this is all going to happen. So they still have a lot of confusion, a lot of questions about it. And so he goes a little deeper into it, and that's what we're going to pick up with today. You ready? Chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 through 11. I'm reading from the ESV. You follow along. And we want the Word of God to speak to us. Amen? So he says, now, verse 1, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Now, you're going to notice here that he uses a lot of different metaphors, and sleep, for instance. He used that, and their culture used that even, as a metaphor for those who had died the physical death. The body looks like it's asleep. But he also uses sleep in another way of those who haven't died, but they're spiritually asleep, right? And so you're going to see that. Don't let that confuse you. That's a very common thing that we do in our culture and in our language also. But there's a lot of mystery surrounding this, right? In fact, when we were looking in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, Behold, I will show you a mystery. Now, we know what the mystery is. We just can't fully understand it. Once again, just like that big fat brother-in-law you have. You love him, but you just can't quite get your arms around him, right? Right? So that's what this is. I love this truth. I just can't quite get my mind around it. But there are a lot of things that, so mystery surrounding that day. So when I ask the question, what kind of day will that be? There's a lot, but that's okay. There's a lot of mystery surrounding a lot of things. And there are times that Paul just mentions this is a mystery. We need to do a series, just a topical series on that sometime. Of the mysteries that he talks about, because there's several of them. One of them is even marriage, okay? Woo, yeah. Okay, we'll come back to it. But there are a lot of mysteries in life. I mean, there are a lot of things you don't understand, that you don't avoid, right? I mean, there's so many. When I think about it, I get confused. Like, I have never understood, it's been a mystery to me, why is it that a carrot is more orange than an orange? I mean, shouldn't we switch those names? Maybe not. I guess not. So why is it, though? Why is it? Yeah. It's just like I look back there and I see that door is slightly open. We say that door is ajar. So when a door is slightly open, we say it's ajar. But when a jar is slightly open, we don't say it's a door. I totally don't get that. And then we know that if you live in the big city, we don't have them around here, but in the big city, you drive on the parkway. You drive on the parkway, but you park in the what? The driveway. doesn't make sense to me. And I've always wondered, the other day, you know, the flies are out now. And they're just like trying. I had one that, I don't know why, but this fly is like demon-possessed. I'm just trying to get up my nose. I don't know why it thought that was a place that should go. But I don't understand why we call flies that. Flies are greedy and messy. I mean, if you look at them, they're always like, you know, they're like, you ever notice that? Flies, they really get on our nerves. But why do we call them flies? I mean, who was in charge of that, right? I mean, couldn't we have done a little better than that? I mean, I'm surprised we don't call a cricket a jump, you know, or a cow a moo. I mean, it's just a fly. And then, you know, boy, if Noah would have just swatted those two flies, you know what I'm saying? But it's, there's a lot of mysteries in life, right? But we just kind of accept, I could keep going, but I think we need to, you know, move on. But and we look at the way time is going and the confusing day that we live in and all the technology and all the different stuff. It's confusing, but it's good to know the Bible reassures us God still governs all of time. He is in control. That history is His story. This is all going somewhere, y'all. It is. And it is not off track. God is not surprised trying to figure out what He's going to do about anything. It's right on track, and there is going to be a conclusion. And God's in charge of it. All right? And that's kind of part of what He's bringing back up here. And he knew there was a lot of confusion. And since, you know, He talked about how we're going to, those who have already fall asleep in Christ, those who have died, that He's bringing them with Him. They receive their resurrection body. And then those of us who are alive and remain will be changed. We're going to be caught up, right, and meet them in the air. Okay? And so, as I said last week, Paul kind of left things up in the air, didn't he? So he goes on a little deeper into it. And that's what he's talking about here. There are a lot of, not only confusion, there's a lot of false stuff. There are a lot of scoffers that scoff at the thought of this, you know, the Lord coming back. A lot of fraudsters out there today. By the way, we have notes online. If you haven't looked them up, you might want to pull them up, go to our Facebook page. You're using the YouVersion app. Search for us under events. Because there are a lot of verses that I'm going to throw at you here. And I want you to be able to meditate on them later. And I could do a lot more, but there's quite a few verses. We're going to put them up here. I think we'll probably have them online as well. So follow along. And there's a few extra things in the notes and what I'll put up there probably. But the whole point of that is I'm not just here to give a pep talk. We're here to equip the saints, right? We're here to learn and to grow closer to Him and how to love each other better, right? All of that stuff. So that's why I do that. But there are a lot of fraudsters out there, a lot of people scoffing at this. And the fact that so many are doing that itself just proves that the Bible's right, right? Because Peter talked about it. Let me show you. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, he says this, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days. With, guess what? Scoffing. I don't know what the best definition of scoff is. It's kind of like, that's kind of bad, but sorry about that. You know, they're scoffing at it. I don't know. But here's what they're doing. Why are they scoffing? Because they rather follow their own sinful desires. They don't want to be told they're sinners. Even though there's good news, there's gospel. The good news is only good news because there's bad news. And the bad news is we are lost and we can't save ourselves. We're not okay. I'm not okay. You're not okay. We're lost. I'm not just trying to become a better me. I'm trying to become the new me created in Christ Jesus. A better me wouldn't even be that great anyway. So he says, because they're following their own sinful desires. Verse 4, they will say, where is the promise of His coming? You can hear the sarcasm in that, can't you? For ever since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, where is it? We've heard this all of our lives. We've all, you know, it's not going to happen. But and then in verse 8, Peter reminds us of this, okay? You're thinking about that now? He says in verse 8, do not overlook this one fact, beloved. He said that with the Lord, One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God doesn't measure time like we do. He's eternal, okay? Verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But why? Why hasn't he already come back? But is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The only reason he hasn't come back is he wants more time to happen so more people can come to the point that they recognize their sin, repent, turn, trust in him for salvation. That's the only reason why, is because of his grace and mercy. Now, this day of the Lord we're talking about here, we're talking about judgment day. There's a day that's not going to be like any other day. It's the day of the Lord. The Old Testament prophets also talked about this. Did you know that? This isn't just something that came up after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And there are a lot of verses, but I only picked a couple. One of them is in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Why? For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. So, thousands of years ago, Joel prophesied about that. Isaiah also spoke of it. He said, for the Lord of hosts has a day. It's already on his calendar. Against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. There's coming a day. Now, back to the question. What kind of day will that be for you? What kind of day? We know there's coming a day. Just as sure as we're sitting here, this is going to happen. There's no way we're going to avoid it. There's no way you could cancel it. There's no way Satan can thwart this. It's going to happen, okay? What kind of day is that going to be? What kind of day would that be if that day was today? Would it be a day of dread or a day of desire? Now, last week, we looked at the hope and the promise and how it would cause us to comfort each other of the fact of not only a new body, hallelujah. By the way, I went to the doctor this week, and you know, you go to a dermatologist now as you get older, you get all kinds of things growing on you. Man, what is happening to me? And then I got problems with my thumb, and they said, oh, that could be like beginning of arthritis. And I was like, what? Old people have that. And then, yeah, I had a terrible experience that I shared with a few people this week. I was having to look back at something on our church security camera, and it will skip from when there's motion, right? So you don't just watch everything. And it skipped from what I was looking at until I came in the door, and I didn't know it. All of a sudden, the door was like, oh, somebody else came in here before I got here. No, it was actually, who is that? It's me. I hadn't seen myself from that angle in a while. I'm like, I thought, who's this old guy coming in the building? I was like, I really don't, sometimes as a spiritual lesson, don't see ourselves the way we really are. Oh, wow. So I was a little depressed after that. So I'm desiring that day of resurrection. How about you? Wayne, well, you're our senior member here, right? I don't mind telling everybody because he's proud of it. He's 93. He's going strong. But then I realized how long I've been here, just a few years. Well, actually, I was figuring up the other day, Wayne was only 3 years older than what I am right now when I came here. Ooh, scary. Scary. But we've got this incredible thing that will never, ever be old again. Because a lot of those who have a few years on them, you see a lot of stuff that needs to be done. Young people aren't doing it, but you just physically can't do it. You would. We'd be better shape if you were younger, right? But this is what time does to us. One of these days we're going to be outside. So we're excited about that resurrection. And then being with the Lord, we're going to meet the Lord himself. Think about that. And we'll be together. Loved ones who've gone on are coming with him. And we're going to be together. That's so exciting. So that's a day of desire. But for some, we're seeing now. So here's what Paul's doing. He's showing us the flip side. There's a flip side to this. It's not going to be a good day for a lot of people. It's going to be a day of dread. If they were smart, they would dread it. If they were smart, they would repent and be ready for it. So as far as Bible prophecy goes, the Bible is betting 1,000 on this. All of those prophecies about Christ first coming, all 100%. Didn't miss anything. So I have a feeling that the prophecies about this are also going to be true, and they're going to happen. So the reality is, we're going to look at, first of all, a reality. There's a day that's coming, unlike any other day. A day of the Lord, a day of judgment. For all the people in the world who keep trying to solve all the problems and think they're going to do it, the outlook is not rosy. There's coming a day that, guess what? It's His day. It's called the day of the Lord. You know what? That day, I don't care what you've got going on or what's happening in the world, He's taking over the day. You see? He's taking over the day. It's the day of the Lord. And so He's showing us this side of it, the reality of this day that is coming. And as we've read it, if we go back through it, reality number one is this. He says, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, and the way he uses that word brothers includes brothers and sisters, so don't worry about that. He says, you have no need that anything be written to you. You yourselves are fully aware the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So reality number one is no one knows when it will be. God's plan, as I said, is a mystery, right? Let's look at that verse. Paul admits that. It's a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51, he says, behold, I tell you a what? A mystery. We can't fully understand this, but here's what the mystery is. We shall not all sleep. We'll not all die the physical death, but we shall all be changed. In the next verse is where he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, which we read about last week in 1 Thessalonians 4, this is going to happen. But now, I'm sure Paul had more insight on it than I do, right? Amen, he did. And he may have taught them some things that weren't written down for us. So they may have actually known more than what we know, because we just have what God caused to be recorded in Scripture and handed down to us and preserved for us. But you know what? Even the disciples, after spending over 3 years with Jesus, and after they watched Jesus crucified, and after they personally met the resurrected Jesus, and then after they were together, before Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, they asked Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Now is this going to happen? Talking about you reigning on earth, you know, and we'll talk a minute about the millennial reign where he reigns on the earth. They knew there was some unfulfilled scripture here. There's something not connecting. Are you going to do that now, right now? And guess what Jesus said? It is not for you to know. Acts 1:7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed in His own authority. So he's saying this day is a day scheduled by the Father alone. Jesus came, though he was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, he did not come to do his own will. That when he came, Philippians 2 talks about, he voluntarily humbled himself, lowered himself to take upon himself the form of a servant. So though he was fully God, there were some prerogatives of his deity that he did have to lay aside, such as God is omnipresent. God is present everywhere at one time. But when Jesus came, he voluntarily submitted himself to be in one body, in one place at one time. Though the Father is still everywhere, Jesus did that. So there were some things like that that he did. But though he was fully God, he was fully human. He makes it clear that he did not come to do his own will. He only came to do the will of the Father. The Father tells me what to do, and I do it. What the Father is doing, that's what I do. John chapter 5. What the Father said, my words are not my own. What my Father says, that's what I'm going to say. So that's why, at that time, Jesus said this. He said concerning, in Matthew 24:36, concerning that day's the day that we're talking about, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus said the angels don't know, and it's not my call, but when the Father says, I'm coming. Okay? When it says it's time, it's time. So please understand that. Then he says, concerning the times and the seasons. I think it's important to understand those words. They're two different words, times and seasons. So there are times, and that's the word in the original language that Paul wrote, chronos, and it means chronological time. It would be like tick, tick, tick of the clock. You know, we're looking at time on our timeline here, right? So if you're wanting to know the time, so if the angels don't know and Jesus says it's not my call, it's the Father's call, I guarantee you Joe Blow down there that's writing books, that's predicting stuff, he doesn't know, right? Oh, man, and it just happens ever so often. Don't fall for that stuff. Don't buy the book. He's wrong, oops, but he still keeps the royalties, I would imagine, huh? Okay. So this is it. So there's time, there's an exact time. You're not going to know that. But then he says seasons. And that's a different word that you see there, kairos. And it is a different type of time. And one is like quantity of time, and this is more like quality of time. This is time that is marked by certain features. Like we would say spring is a certain kind of time where it starts getting warmer and things start blooming and the flies start trying to get up your nose. Things like that. It's a kind of time. So there's the season and the exact times. He says, you don't really need for me to write anything else to you. Why? Because I've already told you everything you need to know. I want to know more. But he said, you don't really have any need that I write anything to you. But he does. So Paul actually, it sounds like, really gave them what he received from Jesus. And part of that was recorded for all of us. Because he says that the world is going to be caught, the whole world is going to be caught in a big shock here. The whole world is going to be caught in a surprise. In one place it uses like a snare, like a bird is just kind of like, oh, this looks good, food. And all of a sudden, the trap falls. It's like a snare. It's going to come like that on the world. Jesus also used this terminology that Paul uses here. I think that's where Paul got it. Matthew 24:43. Jesus said this, but know this, that if the master, he's given an illustration about this day. If the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect, right? So I think this is where Paul got this, right? From Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus said. And also in Luke chapter 21, he uses illustrations like this. Jesus also likened these days to like the days of Noah and the days before Sodom was destroyed. In Luke 17:26, he said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. He talks about how they were eating and drinking and marrying and you know, giving away daughters in marriage. And then, boom, the Lord shut the door of the ark and the flood came. And you can imagine how those people were. They were saying, you know, how long was it took for that ark to be built? That boat? Huh? 100? 100? Huh? Come on, some of you. Bible memorization, tic-tac-toe. Huh? Are we hung up here? Huh? 100 years? 120 years? 130 years? 150 years? Are we going to vote? Huh? Phil says it's a long time. It's a long time. Can you imagine, though? Go look it up later. Look it up later. Not now, later. Put it in your notes. Look that up later. So you'll know. You never know when Bible trivia night comes, and you're going to be like, ready. Can you imagine some kid walking by there and Noah's working on that thing? And Noah's preaching and telling how God's going to destroy if people don't come back to himself and all of that. And it bothers him. So he goes and talks to his dad. And he said, Dad, I went by Mr. Noah's place. And you know that thing he's building? And he's all talking about how the Lord's going to judge us and it's going to be flooded and all this. And talked about something called rain. I don't even know what he's talking about. And the dad just laughed and said, why, son, come here. Talk to Grandpa. Grandpa, and he laughs too. He says, why, when I was a young man your age, he was working on that same thing and it hadn't happened. He's crazy. Could you imagine that? But the day came, God shut that door, and nobody else could get in. And then it happened. Okay? So that's the analogy Jesus is using there. And then also in that same chapter in verse 28, he says, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot. You know that story. In talking about in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling and planning and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it's coming like a surprise. That's the reality of number one. I'm going to spend a little more time on this one so you can relax than some of the others. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. It's going to come as a surprise. The world will not be listening. They will not be awake. They will not be ready. Like a thief comes in the night, he says. Thief, you know, doesn't normally send you an announcement for you to put on your calendar. By the way, Tuesday night, 3 a.m., I'm coming by your place. They don't do that. They wait till you're asleep and not expecting them, and they show up hopefully when you're not even there. But they like to work in darkness, and they like to work when people are asleep. Thief in the night. Oh, by the way, Peter also heard Jesus talk about that, and not just Paul, but Peter also taught that. Back over in 2 Peter chapter 3, where we were looking earlier, he says, but the day of the Lord, that's our subject, isn't it, will come like a what? A thief. And he gives us a little info here. What's going to happen when that happens? The heavens will pass away. That's outer space. Galaxies and planets, I take it. With a roar. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Judgment day. Judgment day. He gives us that information. So that's the first reality. People will not be ready. That's just the way it's going to be. Because people have a free will given by God, and he already knows that. Many people are going to reject, they're going to scoff, they're not going to listen. Don't let it be you, okay? Then the reality number two, you ready? Let's keep going. Whew, take a breath. Is that the majority of people in the world are going to be surprised, but they're not going to be ready, and they're going to be deceived. They're going to be deceived. So the Lord gives us definite signs that mark to the nearness of his return, but those who don't know him, they're going to think everything's going well. They're going to say what? Peace, man. Peace out. Everything's safe. We're fine. We are fine. We don't need the Lord, right? Because we've got it all going on for ourselves. You know, sometimes when wars start up, like recently, in the Middle East, you know, and everywhere else, and we have wars, right? We have actual wars, and we have rumors of like so-and-so may attack so-and-so, and so-and-so may do this. So we got rumors of war, and the wars and rumors of war can travel at the speed of light now because of social media. You ever think about it? So there's a lot we could talk about there. But a lot of times we say, oh, this could be it. Oh, this could be it. Or it might be at a time when things calm down a little bit and say, whoo, boy, the world is doing good, isn't it? Saying peace and safety. Boom! I don't know. Sounds like it could be. Sudden destruction will come. People think everything's going good. And I know we don't even know what to believe today. You know, there's peace. The economy's doing great. I keep hearing different ones saying, man, the economy's doing great. Economy's doing great. Inflation. Inflation is like under control and all that. And all the time I'm looking like, don't see it. I don't see it. Anyway, so it may not actually be peace, and it may not actually be safety, but that's what they're saying. And at the height of their thinking that they don't need God, and that they think that they're in charge, destruction will come suddenly. And he likens it to a day when, this day to a woman who starts into labor. I mean, this is a sign, and you don't carry these illustrations further than what he meant for them to be, but the pains, they know something's going to happen, right? But then you don't know when those labor pains are going to start. Jesus uses this illustration too, but I don't have it on there. So she doesn't know exact time it's going to be born, but she knows that it's going to have to happen. Something's going to have to happen, all right? Once it starts, there's no going back. All right, so people are going to be deceived, and they're not going to be ready. Reality number three, Christ followers should be ready and not deceived or surprised. You be ready. Be like, My old buddy always talk about, can't wait till I get to heaven. That's one of the first people I'm going to look for. It was a very, at that time, elderly. He probably was like a little older than me. But no, at that time, I thought he was older. Wow. Okay, Clarissa, we were married already. I was still 18 years old. Don't get wrong ideas, people. It was a different time, and we were in Arkansas. Okay, but we weren't related until we became husband and wife. Anyway, I worked at, instead of just working on the dairy for my dad, living in Searcy, Arkansas, I worked at Walmart, of course, right? I put in a couple of years there and in Moore, Oklahoma. But there, remember the door greeters? I miss the door greeters. Man, they would find somebody like Wayne would be like the most awesome door greeter if we had us a Walmart here. I miss that. But this guy was an elderly African-American man, and he just was, I've told you about him before. So here's this guy, and I figure he's probably with the Lord now. I don't know, he'd be like 100 years old if he wasn't. But his name was John Kennedy. A unique name, right? I mean, yeah. But he just kept the whole place lit up. I mean, there was one day that there was this old man came into our store in Searcy, and he was wearing overalls, and he was wearing a hat, all right? And the guy, and he, boy, John's course right there on him, you know, need a cot? He always called it a cot. Need a cot? And he's not here. But the guy walked on. You remember we used to have the intercoms? And, you know, and when I first started, you know, people loved to pick up that thing and just say, need a stockman to go get cars. I need this, you know, I need that. And finally, they quit calling for stockman. They just called my name. You know, that's what I started out doing. Anyway, but this old man walked over, and he's like, John was saying, he must be senile, because he walks over and picks up that little phone-looking thing and punches it and starts to talk. And old John's like, mister, you can't do that. You can't do that. Mister. I'm not making fun of John. That was John, okay? As it turned out, it wasn't just any old man with dementia. It was Sam Walton himself. In our store. Woo! I mean, next to seeing Jesus, that was a moment for John Kennedy. Oh, man. So we would razz him about it a little bit later. It was fun. He would pick on us. It was years later. Clarissa, you remember we were there, and they had actually built a new superstore, and we're in another place. I would always talk about him. So, and this was probably 25 years ago. And I was like, man, I wonder whatever happened to John Kennedy. And we were walking and shopping, and he was in there shopping. He was still going. And I didn't think he would remember. I said, John, how are you doing? He looked at me and goes, you still preaching? I'm still preaching. But I said, John, are you on your watch out? Mr. Sam may come in. And he says, I stays ready. So when's I don't have to get ready. And you know what? That'll preach. So here's what Paul's saying. You don't need to be surprised. You should be ready. Be ready and stays ready. I just like that. I'm sorry. You'll hear that illustration again in a few months. But what I want, the people of the world, people are saying peace and security, but what are you saying? What are you saying? Notice the shift. There's a shift. I got my motion down good? There's a shift that occurs right here. You notice how he changes nouns, pronouns. People are saying that peace and security, destruction will come upon them. But now in verse 4, he says, but you. And then he says, we are not of the night. He changes. So this is having to do with those who are Christ followers. Though the world will not be ready and will be surprised, you should not be. People of the world, he goes on to use this metaphor. They're like people living in darkness. Powerful metaphor. And it was even more powerful for them than it is us. You think about that? Because they didn't have electricity. And they didn't have lights. And they didn't have flashlights. They had to carry an actual torch. Now, I don't know why people in Britain want to call flashlights torches. Did you know they do that? It's a torch. To me, if there's no fire coming out of it, it's not a torch. Right? But they had to carry what we would call actual torches. And I always wondered about that, watching Gilligan's Island and stuff growing up, how they would have those torches. And me and my buddy Brian Benton, we always tried to make torches. And we didn't burn a barn down or nothing. But we could never, and I guess the secret is somewhere on Gilligan's Island, they soaked those dudes in kerosene or something. I don't know how they, because the torch would always, we would try to make one and it wouldn't burn very long. It'd burn out. And we didn't know you had, you know, gasoline is not a good way to do that too, by the way, because it'll explode before it gets to the light, before it gets to the... Anyway, another story there. But eyebrows do grow back and things like that. So, those days, they didn't have any of that. And so when it got dark, I mean, they had like, you know, candles with wax or fat or whatever, you know. But it was complicated. I mean, when it was dark, it was dark. No street lights. Think about that one, huh? Things, you know, all this artificial light we have. So think about that, how dark it was. And so once it got dark, guess what they did? They went to bed. It's what you should do. Turn off the lights. Shut down your phone. Turn off that TV. Get some sleep. Maybe that's why you're so tired today. It's not my boring preaching. It's your bad habits. You're staying up too late. That's what it is. Don't blame me because you stayed up, you know, seeing the end of that show last night. Whatever. Okay, or scrolling. Quit scrolling. Quit swiping. Yeah, okay, whatever. Go to sleep. Get you some rest. My goodness. So this was like a powerful metaphor. It's like people, so you had to get them to go somewhere at night. I mean, you can just turn a light on. You would stumble around. These people are like folks like that. They're like in the night. They're in the dark. This is a powerful metaphor. The scriptures use light and darkness a lot. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Even before he created, you know, the sun and the moon, Jesus later said in John 8, 12, he said, I am the light of the world, right? So the people of this world is what he's trying to say. Without Christ, without the scriptures, without God's truth, they really are in the dark about what's happening. I mean, why do I expect them to understand when they refuse to receive God's truth and step into the light of the world, Jesus Christ? So they're truly in the dark. You see it. There's no way they can see it at this point. They don't see it. Notice the contrast that he uses in these verses. Light and darkness. We're of the light. We're not in darkness. And asleep here has to do with spiritually and mentally being asleep. They're asleep, but you're awake. Stay awake. Somebody literally needed to hear that right then, probably. Stay awake. They're asleep. You're awake. They're drunk. Like he said, those who get drunk at night. It all goes together. We need to be sober, all right? So when you're intoxicated, you don't really understand what's going on. Don't be like that. Be sober. Be clear thinking. Right? Be awake. You're in the light. So guess what? It's not for you to know the times and seasons, but he's given us a lot of signs. So as the seasons begin to change, you're not like them that you should be surprised. You should see that it's closer than it's ever been. You should see that this is getting near. This is why we need to stay on our toes. This is why we need to stay awake. This is why we need to be sober. I'm telling you, folks, time's running out, and we don't know the day or the hour, but we are in a season. And it's all happening. Jesus even gave an illustration about a fig tree to illustrate that. All right, so that brings us to, we're coming down. We're beginning, you know, buckle your seatbelt. We're going to start. I didn't say we're coming in for a landing. I'm saying we're starting our descent. Okay, good. Readiness. So that's what he says. Don't get dull, verse 6. Stay awake. Let us not sleep. Don't be like that. Don't get sucked into this thing with our culture. Stays ready, so you don't have to get ready. Our opportunity, not only be ready, but listen, our opportunity to serve him on earth will end. Right? It's more than about us just getting into heaven. It's about serving him while we're here. People who are asleep and in the dark or intoxicated, they can't deal with realities, but you see it, and God's going to help you deal with it. And because of that, there's a unique kind of battle going on. Verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Do you see those three again? We've seen it in chapter 1. We've seen it several times. Faith, hope, and love. Remember, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, there remains faith, hope. You boil it down. Faith, hope, and love. The grace of these is love. Love's going to last forever. Right now, we're having to walk by faith. And right now, hope is helping us and protecting us. So we've got to. So here's the thing. It's not just difficult times. There's a unique kind of battle going on. There is a battle. There's a war going on. And you need to be kitted up. You need to have the breastplate of, here he says, faith and love. And the breastplate, think about it, protects your heart. You need faith in Christ and the love that comes from him, or you're going to have some serious damage in your heart. The helmet, the hope that we have, that joyful confidence that comes from our faith of him fulfilling everything he said. The helmet protects the brain, the head, the brain, the mind. We're going to stay mentally good and alert because we've got that hope in the midst of all this pain and destruction that's keeping us positive, protect our mind, protect our heart. And so he says, be ready this way. And as to how all this is going to come off is still a mystery. In your notes, I've listed, some people think that, used to think that, boy, we're going to bring the world to Christ and usher in the age of the millennial reign. And then there's some post-millennial, pre-millennial, that they believe Christ will return before the literal 1,000 years. They think this time of meeting Christ up in the air and then the day of the Lord are separate events. And we'll meet him in the air, and then that may be what starts the 7 years of tribulation. Or that rapture could happen during the middle of the tribulation. I'm trying to get too personal here, but I want to say this. A lot of these, there's a lot of good people believe a lot of different ways, and we're not dogmatic about it. Some churches, you got to pick one, right? But you know what? That's okay, because he said, you don't really know. I think it's going to be a little different than all of us think. I don't think that we'll be here when the bowls of wrath are poured out on the earth, because he's going to tell us right here, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation. And so there's some, that church will be taken away before or during or at the end of the tribulation. So there's some good people think all that. And then there's those all millennial who really believe, and this is one of the oldest views, actually, that the millennial, the 1,000 years, is symbolic, that this not literal 1,000 years, that Jesus' resurrection and ascension inaugurated Christ's reign and his power. He's ruling from heaven, is known through the church. And so the 1,000 years is symbolic and some things like that. So there's a lot of things you can do there. But here's what we do know. This is going to happen. Just all of the little details I'm not sure about, but it's going to happen. And we need to be ready. So what's your reaction? Here we go. Don't panic. Don't be like, who was that chicken running around there thinking the sky was falling? Huh? Who? Who was Henny Penny? Wasn't there a Henny Penny? Huh? Ah! Okay. Okay, we got some more homework. Put that in your notes and look it up later. Wow, I didn't expect that. Run around thinking the sky was falling, right? Because, but don't be like that. Don't be like that, all right? We've got a mission. We need to stay focused because he reminds us we're not appointed for wrath. Wrath is coming. We can feel it, can't we? We can feel it's coming on the earth, but not for us. Jesus, listen to me, took the wrath of God against your sin already on the cross. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You have been appointed to a salvation through, once again, emphasis on our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a little gospel. He's going to throw a little gospel back in there. Remember, he died. We just remembered it with communion. He died that we might be saved from the wrath to come and, get this, live with him forever. So our goal and our destiny are not even affected by death. He said in verse 10, he died for us so that whether we are awake, that is, we're alive, or we sleep, that is, we die a physical death, either way, we're living with him. If I'm alive, I'm living with him right. I guess I ran the battery down. Wow. The conclusion is, for his people, Paul's conclusion on this is that it should be a day of desire, not a day of dread for us because of what Jesus has done for us. Two things we should be doing, encouraging one another. Look how he ends it. Now, I'm telling you all this so y'all can be in the know, right? I always worry about people that somehow unlock the code. No. That's not the deal. It's so that you may do what? Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. You're doing this. Keep doing it. That's what you need to do. You need to keep encouraging, cheering each other on, and helping each other grow and loving each other. This is exactly what you ought to be doing. You're already doing this, so don't stop. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Our future is worth it. Let's finish strong. Because remember, here's what Jesus said. Here's what we're to do. Matthew, let's go back here. Matthew 24:14, and then we're going to pray, okay? And this gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. What does that tell you? We have work to do, y'all. That's the main focus, is it? We're spreading the good news of Jesus to every nook and cranny of the world. And when that is happening, then he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance then. So that's what we do. When he's ready, he'll let us know. Father, help us as we bow before you now to take this in.